It is 19 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning. Time for today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. I'm Alec Creighton, and on the line with us is State Representative Dusty Johnson. We appreciate your joining us this morning.
I am happy to be on. It's actually a good morning at the Capitol, which, as you mentioned earlier, is weird to say right now.
we're chatting just a little bit before we went on, but you've got lots of visitors at the state capitol, and we will recognize who they are by their blue jackets.
We will, and I love that the Capitol right now is surrounded by blue. No matter which floor you walk on, we are having chapters still show up. I had the privilege of talking to 15 different chapters this morning and showing them around the Capitol. Like I said, they're still showing because we're going to recognize FFA Day here in Colorado.
That's a lot of FFA members that are there. What a fun day that's going to be.
Oh, and it's amazing because this year the state FFA has been so gracious that they're going to offer snacks for us after we get done with floor work. So that way the members can talk with the legislators can talk with the FFA members and really hear some common sense and why, you know, FFA is so crucial to not just rural Colorado, but youth development and how you're supposed to think things through before rushing ideas.
Right. Right. Well, so right before we started, you asked me what I was hearing and wanted to know about the legislature. I'm curious, what are the high school students, what are their questions? What's on their mind when they're talking to their state legislator?
Yeah, I know a lot of it is if they're rural kids, they're always talking about the roads, especially if they just got their driver's license and wondering, you know, well, they're already scared that they just got behind the wheel. And then they say they hit a pothole all the time. So roads are huge. I know a lot of them, and that's because they've been talking with their teachers. We're worried about, you know, school funding this year. Healthcare has been a big one because that's been both at the federal news and at the state news. And they're just, you know, they're seeing, you know, cost increase for medications and, you know, how long it takes to get into a healthcare aspect now. And then I know a lot of them also are wondering, you know, higher ed. There's been a lot of talks, you know, on what does that mean, you know, for concurrent enrollment and career access and pathway access.
Yeah, so all of those things. So what are the answers? Because a lot of that ties into the budget, which is one of our topics this morning. How are things going to shake out for our school districts, post-secondary, and for our healthcare institutions? What's it looking like budget-wise, or can you tell yet?
It's looking grim. I know last year was a huge battle. We spoke about how we had some schools held harmless, and while that means they don't technically lose funds, they don't gain any funds to match inflation. This year, I'm really worried if we're going to even have that hold harmless or if schools are going to see some cuts. So it's really been a struggle talking with my colleagues when they're wanting to introduce new programs and mandates on teachers on what they have to teach in the classroom and saying, how can we force our schools to do this when we're struggling just to keep their lights on and their teachers paid? And so that's been one of the biggest battles here. We're not in budget week yet, and the School Finance Act has not been introduced, but it's going to be something that we're going to need all seats at the table, whether it's students, teachers, administrators, parents.
Right, right. So we've got budget still in the offing. You were telling me there's 600 bills that have been introduced because everybody, every member of the legislature gets to put their bills in. Which ones are you most concerned about, and are there any that you're really hoping do make it through?
Yeah, I think we have three. I mean, there's a ton of them right now. Three, though, that I'm hearing specifically because of, you know, the committees I sit on is they want to legalize prostitution. And every time I come back to district or I pick up a call, that's a hot topic. I'm glad the students aren't asking that yet. It means that they're still not introduced to that aspect. But the parents are asking, the adults are asking, and I am praying it doesn't get out of the Senate. If we can keep it in the Senate and it dies there, Colorado will be better for it. If it gets to the House, it's going to be an up ladder climb trying to make sure it doesn't get out.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting one. That seems, I'm not sure anybody saw that coming, and I looked, and I don't think any other states have done that. I mean, there's the obvious things in Nevada, but other than that, that's kind of a new one, isn't it?
It is, and I can't speak for Nevada, but I think theirs is more of the show side of it. I don't think it's the full prostitution side of it. So I think Colorado, this is something we don't want to be leading into the state.
Yeah, so that's gotten a lot of headlines and a lot of attention. What are some of the other things that are catching your attention and those on your side of the aisle are looking at?
Yeah, the other two, I mean, especially out in our area, we're really concerned on how they're trying to mandate what we can use. Like, they have a seed coating, a limitation on seed coating for neonics, because they're convinced that our farmers are being decepted and that they want clean seeds. And there's no way they want these coated seeds. And mind you, these are some of my colleagues from the urban area saying that they know what farmers want and what's best for them. And it's going to be devastating. I'm hoping next week when it gets to the Ag Committee that the Senate Ag can kill it.
So that was going to be my next question, because we have heard about that and had several conversations here on Farm Radio talking about that issue. What do you see as the prospects of that actually becoming Colorado state law?
Scarily, it could have a chance, because they're using the talking points of, well, farmers just have to use extra paperwork and go through a few more processes, but if they really need it, they can go through all these things and get it. But they're going to make it such a long paperwork struggle that it's going to be very burdensome. I mean, I don't know any farmer that has the time or the, you know, wanting the patience to go and fill out all this extra forms to get what they're already getting right now.
And there's also a bill that deals with some pest control, I guess rodents in particular, that is some concern in rural areas as well.
Yeah, and that was in committee last night. I was back in district talking to a conservation group, so I'm pulling it up right now. The roadside bill, and I am hoping that they were able to, and they're still not pulling the information on it. So it's still under consideration from what they've done on the website. I am hoping they killed it in committee, and I'm going to have to check on that. But it's great when even our state resources can't tell you what's happening and they're blocking that out.
That's really interesting. We're visiting with State Representative Dusty Johnson. Well, let's talk about some things that you would like to see passed during the General Assembly session this year. I know there's some bills that you're sponsoring.
Yes. So one of them, because we hear about it all the time, like I said, the students mentioned roads. I have, while it's not a complete solution, it is going to help get to a complete solution. We have a overweight, oversized fee structure already in Colorado. And I am not a fan of, you know, fees when they're overused to pay for everything. But if the fee is really to repair the roads that these freights are using, which are rural roads, that's where this bill is going to say all of that, the fees and the overweight, oversized program have to go back to our rural roads that these freights are on. Been in conversation with, you know, some freight groups and organizations, and really saying you keep complaining that your vehicles are getting ruined and you're having to pay these fees while Denver gets better roads because of it. It's still really aligned, saying, well, if you're going to have them, put them to the use that you told them they were going to be used for, and let's repair some of the rural roads.
Yes, that would be welcome for sure.
So bringing a solution, because that's what we hear every time we bang, you know, we need fixes. We have to cut, you know, I'm hearing anywhere from 1.2 to upwards of 1.6, and they can't give us an estimated number, which is scary. So we're not going to be able to, you know, and CDOT saying they don't have enough money, but they need more, you know, labor and employment. But they're not getting the projects out there. So this is it's a step in the helping rural roads aspect.
Okay. What are some of your other bills?
Yeah, and we talked. So I'm really excited. It got introduced yesterday to make our paramedics, our EMTs, designated as essential service in Colorado. This is huge across the state. They are one of our first responder organizations. They need to be recognized as such, especially in rural Colorado, where we're seeing healthcare being limited or starting to leave because we're struggling to keep it, this is a key step to making sure that we're keeping our state healthy and giving those liability protections and the oversight provisions that when our first responders and paramedics respond somewhere, that we're saying we back them as a state so they can do the duties they have to.
That's really interesting that that's not already the case. So what if this passes, what will change?
So if this passes, it really offers the we have a lot of volunteer paramedics and EMTs out in our area. What changes is the protections that if they go on a closed road, they go in response to a fire, because all of these are considered disaster declarations, maybe not at a mass level. But in Colorado, if it's disaster declared, it has to be only essential services responding. And when we send our EMS personnel to go respond, they take the liability on themselves that if equipment gets hurt or if they get hurt, are they going to have to argue that's outside the scope of their practice because they're not essential? So this gives that overprotection. And then we're opening up emergency funds that we already have saved, but because they're not designated as essential, EMS does not get those funds when they respond to fires or, you know, mass casualty events, and they have to eat the cost when they go volunteer to respond. So this opens up the ability they can also receive those funds.
That's really interesting. I would have guessed that that was already the case. So this is kind of correcting kind of an oversight, it sounds like to me.
It is. And it really is showing that, you know, our EMT paramedics are first responders. Oftentimes you hear that they're designated a second response, and this fixes it, saying, no, they're the ones that show up when you call.
All right. Very good. And let's just kind of touch on the budget one more time. Are there particular things that you are hopeful with or most concerned about as the budget process goes through? Because what we've been hearing is that a really sizable deficit has to be balanced before you wind up your session.
Yes. And we are going to have long battles. All those discussions start in the House this year. And it's going to be horrible because we're seeing so many things of people coming with fiscal notes on their bills. And we are told anything with fiscal note, we cannot pass through. It's going to be a battle. We legally have to balance the budget. If we get to 120 days and we haven't balanced it, we legally, constitutionally have to stay in and keep balancing it until it's solved. I'm just worried on where they're going to think we have to cut, because last year we saw a lot of rural resources cut because they said the population wasn't out there. And so it really is going to be an interesting of what wish list items do they bring, and then what crucial needed things are they going to cut?
That sounds like that could be some difficult discussions.
So we already seen long days. I've already been in committee until 9 o'clock a couple of nights already, and we're only in mid-February. So by the time we get to budgeting in March, as much as I want to come home to the district, be at events, be boots on the ground, we're going to see easily in March us going until 11, midnight, 1 o'clock, battling to make sure that all our voices are heard, and that we're actually taking away the good feel items and not hitting the crucial we can't go without items.
Right, right. Okay, well, interesting discussion. We appreciate all the updates, and we'll say enjoy the rest of FFA Day today at the Colorado State Capitol.
Yes, and if you know an FFA advisor, parent, or student, say happy FFA Day to them today, this weekend. We need more of these youth in the building and across our state. Our future is bright in Colorado, but we need to promote the youth that we have.
All right. Very good. And you get to do that today. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It's always good to talk to you.
Colorado State Representative Dusty Johnson, our guest on Northeast Colorado Talks on this Friday.